Everybody turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Now for those who've been paying attention for the last few weeks, I've been preaching about the army of God. Hallelujah. And I talked about how when I see JSCM, I see God building the army of God here. And I believe God's doing that in a threefold vision. God's using JSCM as an ER to pump life into dry bones. People who come in all dry. The Lord has been using our church to really pump life into them. Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, I've seen God using JSCM as a boot camp where we just kick you in the butt and just train you and equip you as the army of God. Hallelujah. I never heard of an army going out to fight that never went through boot camp. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I also see God using JSCM as a base camp from which we send out missionaries, warriors, armies of God going out, preach the gospel to heal the broken heart and to set the captives free. So tonight is the fourth message in a series of four sermons on the army of God. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but hallelujah. Let me put it all together for you right now. All right, the first message was on the commander of the army. And who is that?
Jesus
Christ. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus, He had a sword drawn. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus might have gotten beat up the first time, but His second coming is not going to be nothing like that. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. The second message. We looked at Psalm 27 to get an idea of what the spirit of a mighty warrior looks like. And we looked at David. The best example I could think of a mighty warrior who fought battle after battle with the spirit, hallelujah, of a mighty warrior. And then third, we looked at equipping the army of God last week. And today we're going to look at the mission of the army of God. The mission of the army. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if y'all just picked that up, but that, what did I spell? J-S-E-M. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Okay, commander is Jesus, the spirit of the army. I was talking about the equipping of the army, and today I'm going to look at the mission of the army. Hallelujah, all right? It's not mine. I think it's just something I got when I was praying. I think it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so I hope it sticks with you. It's a good way to memorize perhaps some of the things that you picked up from these messages. I know you're not going to get it all, but I do want you to try to take away something. So today's message is on the mission of the army of God. If you're ready to hear the word of the Lord, let me hear you say, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, God is raising up a mighty army in this generation. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say that again. God is raising up a mighty army in this generation. Amen?
Amen.
And this army has a mission. Glory to God. This army has a mission. We're not just wandering around looking to pick a fight. We're not playing defense and being on standby until we're attacked. No. The army of God has a mission, and our mission comes from the Word of God. Hallelujah. And today we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 61. Let's turn there right now. Hallelujah, if you aren't there already. And let's read verse 1 together. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Hallelujah. The mission statement of the army of God can be found right here in Isaiah 61. This scripture is quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 4. He walks into the synagogue in Nazareth after he had been in the desert for 40 days fasting, after he had gotten baptized by John the Baptist and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He goes into the synagogue. Look, if you put your, keep your finger on Isaiah 61. Turn to Luke 4 for a second. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. I'm going to read that to you. Luke 4, 17, 21. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Hallelujah. Now those who are used to Isaiah 61 may be surprised to see that Luke 4's wording is a little different. Those who are used to Luke 4 may be surprised to find Isaiah 61's wording is a little different. Hallelujah. Why is it different? All right, I don't want you to get hung up too much on it, but I think it's because that perhaps the passage that Jesus is reading here may have been from the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And sometimes the Septuagint has different wording, just like English translations have different wording. So, you know, they might have chosen different words to translate into the Greek. I'm not sure. That's the best explanation I can find. I don't really know exactly why it's different wording, but hallelujah. All right, get over it. Hallelujah. They're both good. Hallelujah. All right. So Jesus says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." And then from that moment on, Jesus went out and immediately began preaching, healing, and casting out devils. He started preaching, teaching, healing, and casting out demons. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you look at Isaiah 61:1, that's exactly how it's described. And that's exactly what Jesus begins doing. Up until that point, he was just a carpenter. No more carpeting. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's a word, carpeting. Carpentering. Hallelujah. All right. The moment the anointing of the Lord comes upon him, hallelujah, Jesus starts to do the very things described in Isaiah 61. And if you know what Jesus Christ, Christos means, Christos is Greek for the anointed one. Hallelujah. Jesus was called the anointed one. And what was he anointed to do? Well, look in Isaiah 61. That's what Jesus was anointed to do. And it was not God's will that once Jesus left, that the mission described in Isaiah 61 would cease. That was not God's will. Amen? Because what do we know from history? What do we know from the Bible? What happened instead? After Christ's resurrection and ascension, the disciples do the same things that Jesus was doing. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, once Isaiah 61 was fulfilled in Christ, that fulfillment didn't end there. It simply was the beginning. Hallelujah. So those who are now in Christ continue that fulfillment of Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, when he got up on Luke chapter 4, he only quoted verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. He only quoted a little bit of Isaiah 61. We still have the whole rest of the chapter. If you look at verses 2 through 7, man, there's a lot of other stuff there. Hallelujah. But Jesus is interesting. He only quotes that first portion. And he says, it's fulfilled. But the question remains, who's going to fulfill the rest of these verses? Hallelujah. That's where you and I come in, brothers and sisters. This mission statement here in Isaiah 61 is not just for Jesus, and it's not just for a select few apostles that lived in the time of the book of Acts. This mission statement is for everyone who is in Christ. In Christ, this passage, Isaiah 61, begins fulfillment. And those who put their trust in Christ from now on, they continue its fulfillment. Hallelujah. Amen? Because if you know, it wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just the select apostles. Because if you look in the book of Acts, right away, beginning of the book of Acts, they give you two examples of two people that were not one of the original apostles. They were deacons. Anyone know their names? Stephen and Philip. Stephen and Philip. They were supposed to wait on tables. But hallelujah, I guess waiting on tables got a little bit boring for them. Because God's Spirit started coming upon them and they just stepped out in faith. Because the Bible tells us that they went out preaching the gospel and they started to perform miraculous signs. And people began to pay attention to what Philip had to say. Because these signs accompanied them. Hallelujah. And rightly so. Because Jesus said, these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And when they lay hands on the sick people, they will get well. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's not for select apostles. It's for everyone who's in Christ. We continue the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. If you look at Mark, that passage I just read, in other words, Jesus is saying that all who believe in me are going to carry out the mission of Isaiah 61. That's what he's saying in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, there's a very interesting story of a man named Elijah. In the Old Testament, almost everybody died. Moses died. Went up in the mountain. And he just died. David, King David, he died. He was old, but he died. Everybody died in the Bible except a few people. One of them was Elijah. I don't know why God did it. Maybe it was because he was complaining so much. All right. Elijah was used in a mighty way. He had a mighty anointing. But he had a depression problem. I mean, he really had a depression problem. But whatever reason, God, he does a very particular thing. Instead of Elijah dying, in the middle of his ministry, he's complaining so much to the Lord. The Lord says, all right, finally, I guess, tells Elijah, I'm going to take you up. And there's a servant of Elijah, his disciple named Elisha, or Elisha, whatever y'all want to call it. I say Elisha because it sounds different from Elijah. All right, so there's no mistaken identity. Anyway, Elijah is walking along, hallelujah, he splits up the Jordan River, goes across, and then Elisha's continuing to follow him, and Elijah's, man, get off of my back, brother! I need to go have some time alone with the Lord, and Elisha's like, no, something's going to happen today, and I'm not going to miss out. All right, and he knew maybe probably Elijah had depression problems, didn't want to like leave him, you know, was kind of worried for him, you know? I will not leave your side. So Elijah's like, all right, look, check this out. What do you want? What do you want? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your mantle, of your anointing. Because he knew that Elijah had a reputation of healing, of raising the dead, of the miraculous fire falling on the prophets of Baal. Hallelujah. Well, it didn't fall on the prophets of Baal. It fell on the altar. And later on, he stabbed them all to death. That's the Bible. If you didn't know that, hallelujah. That's the Bible. Elisha said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And what's interesting is, what happens is, Elijah's like, look, that's a hard thing for me to give you. But if you see me going up into heaven, it'll be granted to you. All right. So what happens the next moment is, I don't know exactly what happened. All right. It was like a tornado or something, like a mini tornado. Or maybe like big old like angels showed up on horses burning with fire and they're, I don't know what happened, but there was some kind of whirlwind. Okay. And Elijah ascends into heaven. Instead of dying, he ascends into heaven. And Elisha actually gets that double portion of Elijah's anointing. It's a pretty interesting story. It's interesting because I believe that it foreshadows, hallelujah. I believe it foreshadows something. You see, after Christ resurrected, he didn't live to 110 and then die. Okay. He ascended into heaven. And you see, when Christ ascended, he also gives us his mantle. Hallelujah. The anointing that was upon Jesus is available for us. And we're not just talking, hallelujah, a little bit. We're talking like the same anointing. And Jesus said, the things you see me doing, you will also do. But greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. Wow, hallelujah. That's crazy talk. Jesus is like saying that, and the disciples are like, what? I don't know, I'll just be happy doing like one-tenth of what you're doing, Jesus. But Jesus was saying, you're going to do even greater things than I'm doing, because I'm going to give you my mantle. The anointing that's on me, you're going to get it when I ascend into heaven. Hallelujah. And we all know that Pentecost happened after his ascension. Disciples did not do a single iota of public ministry until Christ ascended and the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was a powerful foreshadowing. What happened to Elijah? That's exactly, I believe, what happens with those who are in Christ. The anointing comes upon your life. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about the anointing. There's a bunch of new people at our church, and I talk about the anointing all the time. And my campus ministry at Yonsei, I tell the praise team, y'all better get a hold of the anointing. Let the anointing get a hold of you. If you don't know what that means, you got to keep asking that question, because I want you to understand what the anointing is all about. And there's people here that come out to Friday Fire, but they still have no clue what the anointing is about. And you know what? I'm still trying to figure out what the anointing is about. But I know the anointing is powerful. The anointing is real. And the anointing is not simply for our enjoyment. It's not for our just our personal edification. The anointing has a purpose, brothers and sisters. And the army of God needs to be anointed, but not only anointed, but connected to the purpose of that anointing. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 61 unveils for us what the purpose of the anointing is. The anointing is not just for you to have sweet quiet time. The anointing, Isaiah 61, is pointing to what the purpose of the anointing is. So let's go back to Isaiah 61. I'm going to talk about it right now. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, starting from verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to what? To preach the good news. Hallelujah. To preach good news to the poor. Now, does that mean that we only go to Soryuk, Seoul Station, and talk to all the homeless Ajashis at Seoul Station? To the poor? Does that mean we go to the projects of Brooklyn and only talk to people that are living on welfare? Is that what it means? To preach good news to the poor? No! Hallelujah! Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. You know what poor means? You know what poor means? I'll tell you what poor means. Hallelujah. I was poor. Okay, I wasn't that poor, but I was kind of poor. Hallelujah. And I knew that I was poor. Hallelujah. And when you know you was poor, You ask for one Nintendo game a year. All right, you go to McDonald's about once every 6 months. Man, my first time my mom took me to McDonald's, I was so happy. Because we knew this kid in the neighborhood, and he was spoiled. He was a spoiled little kid. He had one of those like motorized little cars, little cheap things. Man, I just had a little skateboard. He had a motorized car, and every Saturday, that boy would go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal. And he'd get a little Happy Meal toy. And me and my cousins, Brian and Jonathan, we go over his place just to play with the Happy Meal toy. Just fantasize about going to McDonald's and getting the Happy Meal ourselves. But I don't know if it was because we were poor or because my mama just thought it was junk food, so she didn't want me to. I don't remember, but anyway, you didn't ask to go to McDonald's every day when you're poor. Because you know why? Because poor people know they're poor. Poor people know they're poor. That's the same. Those who are poor in spirit. Those who are poor in spirit, they know they have spiritual poverty. They don't try to cover it up. They know they're sinners. That's why Jesus was able to minister so powerfully to tax collectors, to prostitutes, to the sinners of his day. Why? Because them people, they knew they was broke spiritually. But the religious people, they had no idea. And they just would not call and humble themselves before the Lord. So God's not going to wait around forever for them to come to their senses. You go to the poor. You go to the poor. Hallelujah. So when you find a person broken, they might be up in the club. They might be on drugs. They might be part of some crazy cult or gang or something. Hallelujah. You know, you might be like, man, that is the person furthest away from God's kingdom. But you're wrong. They may be the ones closest to God's kingdom. Because, you know, guess what? They know they're poor. And Pastor Paul got converted. That boy, brother knew he was poor. Hallelujah. Pastor Paul knew. Because the things he was doing, he knew he was wrong. He wasn't like a religious person. He humbled himself. Hallelujah. The poor people know they're poor. So that's what it means to preach good news to the poor. Hallelujah. Preach good news. That's the first purpose of the anointing, is to preach. It's to preach the good news. If you look in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." In order to be his witness, you got to preach the good news. You got to evangelize. You got to do missions. So the first purpose of the anointing is to preach. It's to preach. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor that. First purpose is to preach. First purpose of the anointing is to preach. Hallelujah. I messed y'all all up. I said something while you were saying something. Hallelujah. First purpose is to preach. All right, let's move on. Isaiah 61. We're still in verse 1. To preach good news to the poor. Check this out. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Another word for bind could be like bandage. He has sent me to bandage up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Now let me make one thing clear. I believe that God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is not a God who just simply offers it. He actually heals. When the Israelites went through the desert, they were not stricken with any of the diseases in Egypt because God said, "I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord your healer." God sends forth his word. He heals our disease. Psalm 103. The God who forgives all our sin and heals all our disease. Jesus, Isaiah 53 says, he took stripes, whips across his back. Jesus did not have to go take those whips. He could have just gone straight to the cross. But he made a detour. And that detour was to get you your healing. It wasn't free, brothers and sisters. You might be like, "Oh, Jesus, just heal me. It's free. Just give it to me, Lord." Uh-uh. Jesus looks at you and goes, "Oh, I paid a price for that." Hallelujah. Jesus took those stripes across his back to heal. So first of all, I believe healing is not just for your heart. Healing is for your body. Amen? Amen. I think more people in the church They need to get a healthy view of healing without being afraid of health and wealth prosperity doctrine or that labels that people use. All right, it's labels by religious people, by the way. All right, now I agree. There have been some abuses of these kinds of ministries. Does not mean that there isn't a genuine, authentic, real thing. And with some balance, hallelujah, our church, the churches need to be restored into the healing teachings. But the second purpose of the anointing is to heal. It's to heal. Hallelujah. When Jesus healed people, what did he heal? He healed their body. He healed their soul. You know why Jesus, you know, when he healed people? Like if you were to heal people, somebody's like, I'm blind. Blind, help me. Help me, Michael. Help me. You know, what would you do, Michael? Whoever you are. There's Michael in here. All right, what would you do? You'd say, you know, eyes be opened in the name of Jesus. All right, you say something like that. But you know what Jesus will say? He will say, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Man made the religious people upset. They're like, why can't you just tell them to just get up? Why you gotta say his sins are all forgiven? Why you gotta say? Jesus is like, what is it easier to say? To say, take up your mat and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven. But I said this so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to heal and to forgive sin. Made the religious people upset in his day. But you know what Jesus is doing when he says that? He's healing both the body and the soul. You know why? Because the body and soul a lot of times are connected. You got anxiety issues, guess what? You might get some ulcers. You have fear issues, guess what? You might have some migraines. You don't deal with your anxiety issues for like 10 years, guess what? You might just get stomach cancer. The body is connected to the soul. Bitterness, I'm telling you, bitterness will cause all kinds of diseases in your body if you don't, you know, man, you ever see people who are old that have bitterness all their life? I mean, you could actually see it on their face. When you just meet some Harmony, man, she's a bitter Harmony. Because, man, she's been holding on to that bitterness so much, it's actually, like, formed her face. Our bodies are often connected with our soul. And when Jesus healed, he didn't just heal. Hey, hey, here, heal. Oh, heal. All right, get that migraine out the way. Now, you got all the broken problems from all the hurts from your childhood. You know, you're going to have to just see a psychiatrist for that one. No, Jesus didn't do that. All them dirty sins you did when you're teenage years, can't help you with that. No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And that was just like ointment. That was like Bengay on their soul. And when their soul was healed, their body was also healed. Hallelujah. And that's sometimes that's what we'll see in the church when we minister with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we see in the healing deliverance ministry here at JSEM. Amen. You know, people come through their deliverance sessions. All kinds of strange symptoms just start falling out their lives. And they're just like, man, the migraines are gone. Man, all them crazy, like, heart palpitations and anxiety attacks that were mysteriously coming upon me once every 3 months, they're gone. I'm like, hallelujah, sister. Because Jesus forgave all your sins. You got nothing in the closet. And because your soul is well, your body is doing well. Now stop sinning. Hallelujah. So you can have a lifetime of God's goodness. To heal. Matthew 10:8, Jesus told his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Tell your neighbor that. Heal the sick.
Heal the sick.
Raise the dead.
Raise the
dead. Cleanse leprosy.
Cleanse leprosy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second purpose of the anointing is to heal. The third purpose, let's look at Isaiah 61 again. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive. Somebody say freedom.
Freedom.
Somebody say like Braveheart, freedom.
Freedom.
Thank you, Peter J. Pete Rock, hallelujah. That's some Braveheart action right there. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives. And release from darkness the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, to release them, to proclaim it, and then release them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our God is a God who proclaims first, then he does it. Hallelujah. I mean, there's no use in doing it and then proclaiming it. You know, that's not much proclamation. Proclamation is like, before it even happens, God's just like, you will be free! And a person's like, man, I don't feel no freedom. Believe it. You will be free. And then God actually frees them. That's why it says to proclaim freedom. And when you proclaim freedom, when you tell a person who you just meet, person's under all kinds of bondage, let's say the person's under demonic bondage and they want to be free. And you talk to them and they've been in that condition for like 4 or 5 years. They just feel so hopeless. And you tell them, hallelujah. You know, I had these interviews when I do set people up for deliverance ministry. I don't just like take anybody. I usually interview them. And hallelujah. I met up with one sister and I just sat across from her in a Dunkin' Donuts. And she just started to manifest demonically right in front of me. And just her eyes started rolling up in the back of her head. She started getting real dark and crazy. Hallelujah. Right? Started manifesting right in front of me. She wasn't paying attention to what I was saying. I was like, that's demonic right there. And I looked right at her and I was like, you know what, sister? Let's say her name was Hey. Hey, sister, hey. All right, that's not good. Sister Helen. Yo, Sister Helen, let me say something to you right now. I don't know how long you had this condition, but guess what? Let me just speak some words of hope to you right now. Jesus can set you free. Jesus will set you free. Put your hope in Jesus. Helen, put your hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. God has equipped me. He's anointed me. And I'm proclaiming freedom for you right now. You're going to be set free. Hallelujah. And as she heard that, she started getting more angry because the demons inside her started getting more angry. But you got to proclaim it first. And then you release them. Because when you proclaim it, hope rises up in the person. You see, when it comes down to it, to really set somebody free effectively, you need their cooperation. Guess what? You need the cooperation. And the only way you're going to get the cooperation is to rise up hope in them. And that's to proclaim freedom. Hallelujah. When you proclaim that freedom, hope rises up. Then you're able to release them. Hallelujah. And take the steps necessary to get them released. So the third purpose of the anointing is to deliver. It's to deliver people out of bondage. If you look in Acts 10:38, the word of God says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Hallelujah. The anointing is to heal and set free all who are under the power of the devil. That's deliverance. The third purpose of the anointing, brothers and sisters, is deliverance. Deliverance. Jesus said, Matthew 12:28, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus was telling the religious folks, he was like, look, I'm not casting out demons because I'm in cahoots with Satan himself. House divided against itself cannot stand. Look, that's not me. But if I'm driving out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus was saying, here's the source of my power, the anointing that's flowing out to set people free. The source is the Holy Spirit. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, don't try to drive out demons without the Spirit of God. You get all kinds of crazy results. You'll be holding on to a cross, getting yourself some garlic, I don't know, doing all kinds of weird stuff, trying to get somebody free. You know, get out! Get out! Hey, everybody, let's sing a song. All right, everybody sing a song. All right. Man, I tell you, man, the first few times I led deliverance session, I thought that was like normative. You're supposed to like sing songs until the person gets so tortured, they're like, ah, get me out of here! And all right, get out! All right, ah, cool. Okay, and then the church is set free. Okay. Doesn't really happen like that, alright? Alright, you sing, some demons will actually like mock you while you're singing them songs. You know, you'll be like, you know, singing these songs, you know. You know, holy is the Lord, God Almighty.
Hell is alive. He can't sing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to scare nobody. I'm sorry. I told you I won't do that. I'll stop doing that. Come on. No fear for the people of God. Come on. Fearlessness. But I'll stop that. But yeah, that's not what you do, man. You don't get garlic and silver bullets and crosses and stuff and hit people over the head with the Bible and you know repeat Jesus' name, you know. Hallelujah. That's not how you do it. You do it by the Spirit of God. You got to get the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. You don't got no anointing, guess what? Exactly the same thing's going to happen to you as it happened in the book of Acts. The sons of Sceva. These dudes, they went in there, and guess what? It gets quoted in the Bible, what they said. They are like, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, get out. And then that dude who was demonized, I will not imitate him. Right? There's something like, whatever, and just like start beating the sons of Sceva up, like violently, physically. Alright. Now, a person that's anointed never gets beat up during a deliverance session. If you're anointed, all you gotta do is speak forth in the word of authority, and they can't even touch you. Now, I can come inches to, I mean, I guess it depends on the demonization and the demons that are involved, but I can come inches before like a person who's like shouting at me, you know, all kinds of curses, look like they're about to scratch me, and I won't even fidget. I'll just go look at them and I'll say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, stand back. In the name of Jesus, I bind you hand and foot and mouth. And the person went, ah! And, oh, I'm sorry. Come on, it's kind of, I'm all right, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. All right, stop scaring your people, okay? But when you got the anointing, hallelujah. When you got the anointing, man, sometimes you can just drive out demons, sometimes by just one word. But other times, you got to do what Jesus did. All right? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And guess what? Those people believed it, and they were set free. Demons believe. A lot of times, what needs to happen is people need to confess their sins. All right? So, I mean, I don't, it worked for Jesus, but it may not always work for you. You can just be like, hey, you got demon art. Your sins are forgiven. All right, that's not always going to work. But what you do need to do is get them to confess their sin. Get them go back, whatever, teenage years, childhood years, when they were molested or where they molested somebody else. You know, where they were had anger, unforgiveness. They got to go back and they got to confess them sins. And then you proclaim God's forgiveness over them. And then the demons are easy to drive out. Hallelujah. But you need the anointing to do all that. Because guess what? If you don't have the anointing, the person is not going to open up. When you don't have the anointing on you, people don't open up. And guess what? When they can't open up, you're not getting them set free. You know, when you do have the anointing, man, people open up when you don't even want them to open up. You'll be like, hey, how you doing, man? What you eat for lunch? Let me tell you my life story. Like, oh, man, the anointing. Did it again. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's wonderful, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, it happened. I mean, it happened to me a lot back in New York, and I always wonder what that was. And one time, Brother Michael prophesying, he's like, Brother, Spirit of the Lord is telling me that people, when they speak to you, they just tell you their life story. They just open up to you, they just start telling you the life story, and they feel comfortable to do that. And I'm here to declare, that's not you, brother. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because if you know me, man, when you meet me for the first time, I'm kind of awkward. I'm not the guy that you want to open up your life story to immediately. But man, you sit down with me, man. It's game over. Anointing locks down. I just do is a little smile. Like that. And the people just open up their whole life to me. And I'm like, oh, snap, man. This is heavy. You know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I still love the anointing. Hallelujah. Even though that kind of stuff happens, because you know what? God, that is for a purpose. And you know what? God uses me to set people free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It works over I am too, by the way. It works over I am. That's what happened with me and my wife. One day, I just IMing Aaron, And Aaron just, I was just like, hey, how was your evening? Click, send, you know? And all of a sudden, I'm like, whole life story. I was like, wait, the anointing got me again. Hallelujah. Or something like that. Anyway, those three purposes. To preach, to heal, and to deliver. Those three things right there. That's the main threefold mission of the army of God. As God raises up this vast army all over the world, these are the three marks that must mark the army of God. And in this way, our church here at JSCN, we're committed to the ministry of healing and deliverance. The more we get of the anointing, the more we realize God's opening more doors for us to do healing and deliverance. And we believe that God pours out His Spirit and anoints us to go and preach the gospel, to heal the broken heart, to proclaim freedom for the captives. You know what? JCM, our congregation is filled with committed leaders, servant leaders, who each have their own testimony of healing and deliverance. Amen? And man, these testimonies cover everything from dealing drugs to sexual promiscuity to all kinds of crazy childhood trauma. And as we see the wonderful fruit coming forth from this ministry, we want nothing less than to help bring wholeness, not just to JSCM, but to the entire body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And as people are made whole, we want to raise them up to go out and be more than conquerors by enlisting them in the army of God to heal, deliver, to preach. Hallelujah. We want to get people healed so that they can go out to heal. We don't want just people just healed and delivered and living good lives. We want people healed and delivered to go out and heal and deliver. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what More Than Conquerors is all about. More Than Conquerors is like taking those who were once slaves to the serpent and then turning them into soldiers who stomp on the serpent. Amen?
Amen.
That's what More Than Conquerors is all about. My eyes all itchy. Man, the Beijing Olympics, man. Must be the Beijing Olympics. Once it ended, man, all the people went onto the streets of Beijing and just start polluting the air or something. Anyway, it was gorgeous sun. Did you guys realize there was gorgeous sunsets during the Olympic month? If you looked out on the Hangang River, there were beautiful sunsets that we've never seen before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me back to Isaiah 61. It's like this. If you look at verse 2, it says, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Now, I want you to notice something interesting here. Look at the subject. The subject here, to comfort all. Who is all? Right? Provide for those. Who are those? To bestow on them. Who is them? I want you to focus on the subject, because the subject is the hurting, the grieving, the depressed, the oppressed. Okay, these are the subject that we're referring to when we use them and those. Okay, and what you'll notice is when you get to verse 4, there's a shift. All right, check this out. Look at verse 4. From verses 1 to 3, they, whoever they are, they're getting ministered to. But when you get to verse 4, check this out. They will rebuild those ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. They have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you notice the shift in subject here, the first shift is at verse 4. The day that have been ministered to in verses 1 to 3, God begins to declare that they will go from receiving ministry to becoming ministers. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pick that up. I picked that up, hallelujah, all by myself with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I didn't take that from John Piper or nobody like that. Came from Christian Lee. I mean, Holy Spirit. Anointed by Christian Lee. Thank you, Lord. Glory to Jesus. They were rebuilt. They were restored, renewed. And just in case you don't get the point, God shifts it one more time in verse 6. He shifts it one more time. And just in case you didn't know that he was talking about you, he shifts it from they to you. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps just right there. They will rebuild. They will renew. They will be called oaks of righteousness. Oh, Jesus, those people sound great. You. They are you. You will be called priests of the Lord and ministers of our God. See, this prophecy made no sense to the Israelites because back in the Israel time, priests were only one people of the tribes of Israel. It didn't make sense to them. How could we all be called priests of the Lord? But in the Bible, it tells us in 1 Peter, we have received a royal priesthood through Christ. Hallelujah. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. I want to turn to your neighbor, tell him that. You are a priest and a minister.
You are a priest and a minister.
Tell him, I'm a minister.
I'm a minister.
Did you know I'm a minister?
I'm
a minister. The word of God says I'm a minister. And brothers and sisters, just like Elisha, we are to receive a double portion of the anointing. Amen? Because not only, hallelujah, do we get healed and delivered, God wants us to go out to heal and deliver and to preach. Because you will be called priests. You will be named minister. All right? Hallelujah. So look with me. Check this out. Look at verse 7. Instead of their shame, my people, oh my people, will receive a double portion. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Somebody say
double.
Double. I said
double.
And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land. And everlasting joy will be theirs.
Yes.
Oh, glory to Jesus. That's the double. That's the double that Elisha got. The anointing that's on Jesus, God wants us to get a double portion of that anointing. Hallelujah. And not only that, you know what? I believe this passage is prophetic. It's alive and it's prophetic. And I believe what God's saying to each of you tonight is saying, he's saying the ministries that you see God moving powerfully upon, God's asking you, do you want a double portion of that anointing on that ministry? Because, you know, you can only ask for that which you can kind of put your head around, right? So whatever ministry you can think of, the most powerful ministry you can think of, God's asking you tonight, you want a double portion of that? Because my people are supposed to receive a double portion. Hallelujah. And joy is to be the mark of those who receive this double portion. Not dread, not duty. Got the double portion. Got to go raise the dead today. All right, but joy. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, just got raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Joy is supposed to be everlasting joy. Hallelujah. Oh, that's just not joy. That's everlasting joy. And brothers and sisters, we are the army of God. Amen?
Amen.
And we're just an army. You know, first of all, we are a bride. I need to start emphasizing that, and I will begin doing that. Hallelujah. But this was the army month. So let me just have my army month. But hallelujah, there's going to come a message, because I need to hear this message. We are the bride of Christ first. We have to be lovers of God first. We have to eagerly await not just victory, but just to await the meeting of our King. We are bride first. But you know what? We're not just a shy, timid, yamjanan bride. We're also an army. So guess what? Underneath that dress is a sword. That's the image of the Church of God. I'm serious. And Pastor Paul shared that with me the other day, and I was like, oh, hallelujah, I feel that. I see it. That's what we are. We are the bride of Christ. But guess what? You don't come too quickly. You don't disrespect the bride. She got that sword ready and drawn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this army, this bride and army, we have a mission. And our mission is to go and preach, heal, and deliver. Amen? Amen. Right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much, oh God, that your anointing is flowing through this place. And God, Lord, as we open up your word, we pray that God, you open up our hearts, get this word deep down in our spirit, plant a vision of this mission into the hearts of every person here tonight. Lord, tattoo it onto our spirit, oh God, Lord. The Isaiah 61, for the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news.